Movie Show. I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Film, Stu, and we're here bringing you our latest movie show with movie news, TV news, and the occasional awkward laugh to get us through it.
We've finally got the casting news we've been waiting for. Cable in Deadpool 2. There's also casting news for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them 2. And Disney's live-action Aladdin is making some movement.
But first up in trailer talk, we got the teaser for Thor Ragnarok, our first trailer for Kingsman: The Golden Circle, and a first, we say, leaked look at the pilot for Krypton.
Thor Ragnarok, let's start with that one. The trailer literally dropped as soon as we finished recording our last show.
Yes. Awkward timing, nonetheless. Watched it. So a couple weeks old now.
So yes, it's, I think, 2 weeks, it's fair to say. It's an old trailer at this point.
Yeah.
But we felt as though we need to speak to it because...
Because if we don't, it's really strange.
Exactly. It's what we do here.
Oh, big thumbs up for me. Looks to potentially be the best Thor film anyway. Not that they are the better of the Marvel films.
I enjoyed the first Thor. The second one, just like Iron Man 2, bit of a misstep.
Yeah.
Didn't quite do it for me.
But much like those promo shots that we saw, I think, in, was it Empire Magazine or something like that? Yeah, a lot more colour. It's looking more in the realm of what we've seen in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I think,
which makes sense.
We spoke to this before, the success of Guardians of the Galaxy and the style that James Gunn brought to it, the colour, tone, humour. Worked for that movie, and it seems to be any Marvel studio movie now, at least having Thor Ragnarok as an example, if you're going to go cosmic, it's going to have a colourful palette.
And it makes sense. And I don't think he's just on Asgard, so it makes sense to explore other, you know, like space cultures. Like, yeah, like you'll get those vibrant colours if they exist.
The colours are working for me. Now, with the trailer, we finally know where Thor and Banner are. The two were absent from Civil War, and now we officially know why. I enjoyed the trailer as a whole, but I think everybody like just loved that final scene where you've got Thor in the arena and the realization that the threat that he's about to face is his buddy from work. In comes the Hulk.
But then what are they going to do? Not fight? Who knows? Well, yeah, what is, yeah, buddy from work, I love it. And my boy Jeff Goldblum's there, Grandmaster, I think he is, something like that. Yeah, has a line or two.
In the comics, Blueskin, he's got a little bit of blue paint on his lip in this movie.
He seems pretty rainbowish to me. He's very colourful, much like the rest of them.
And Loki's back. But is he friend or foe? Or is he both?
Well, I mean, where we left off with... Yeah, if you haven't watched Thor 2, screw you. Yeah, he's Odin disguised as. So he's on the throne.
Bit aggressive, Jason.
Sorry.
And yeah, so we get to see that Loki is good at flipping knives. So that's,
yeah.
It's good.
Overall, short and sweet trailer. Showed enough. I'm happy. I'm there. Like, I'm going to be there anyway, but yeah, don't need this anymore, as I normally do. But yeah, great
again,
trailer.
2 weeks. Old trailer at this point. What
so
else we got?
Let's talk about Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I think this came out
today.
Well, today, if you're listening to this, probably a couple of days ago.
That's true. Maybe it's not today for you, but for us, it's today.
In
very
real
fresh
time.
In our minds. Wow. Now, Kingsman, The Secret Service. I love that movie.
Surprise hit of whatever year that was. 2014, 15. Who knows?
Could be.
Yeah.
Whenever it was, it was a great movie. I've watched it multiple times and it still holds up.
Hit perfect tone, style, class. Like, something about it just... Just awesomeness. And this trailer emulates what I saw in the first film. So I'm definitely hungry for more.
I mean, it starts with a flashback to the first movie where Eggsy first met Harry, played by Colin Firth. So already you're on familiar grounds. And then, yeah, you just get the big, crazy, old school James Bond style action. One of the standout scenes has got to be Eggsy surfing on the top of the car.
Yeah. Just... ridiculous action, like you said, but with so much style to it that I'm like, cool, done well.
And we see Channing Tatum as a member of the Statesman.
Mm.
So it's the American Kingsman.
Okay, that's what that is. And of course, Colin Firth does make an appearance.
And that's it. If you've seen the first movie, you're probably doubtful that you'd see Colin Firth again. But you do see him in this, but bizarrely, I don't know why, but when I saw Firth with an eye patch, I actually thought it was Rob Lowe. And I thought, I didn't know he was in this movie. And then, of course, you have Mark Strong as Merlin and makes reference, like, Harry, like, yeah. How are you alive?
Hopefully they answer that question in the film. We'll find that out.
I'm sure they will, but wow, this trailer looks great. Like, teasing this trailer, they've been showing, like, quick 20, 25 seconds, like, almost just showing shots, like, photos.
Yeah.
Just rapid fire, so you couldn't actually see what it was. This trailer looks amazing.
I'm bored with that one. Now, Krypton, the television series coming to Sci-Fi Channel, whatever
that's called. Trailer talk, we don't often talk about TV trailers, but yeah, this one's pretty special. So it's the...
Got a DC fan here, that's what
yeah, that. I was very sceptical about Krypton, because it felt like the Superman version of Gotham.
Which is, again, not attached to those CW shows and Supergirl.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I'm pleasantly surprised by this trailer. I think hearing that it's on Sci-Fi, you know, the network that's responsible for Sharknado 1, 2,
you
3,
do,
4,
you,
however
you do
many
just
have
think
made.
Like low budget sort of, you know, throwaway sci-fi shows. They pull out a few of those.
But it does show a lot of promise with its Man of Steel influenced design choices. It's got a very Game of Thrones vibe.
Mm.
And I will say, it does look to me like Man of Steel. Like, you've even got what looks like the Codex key. And yeah. The S-Crest is the one that was designed for Man of Steel.
Are your thoughts thinking, could there be a connection to those films? Or is it just in the style of, in the...
Whether they're just using the look of Man of Steel.
Maybe they're just recycling props.
Maybe. They do tell us it's from the writer of the Dark Knight trilogy and Man of Steel, that is David S. Goyer, not one of the Nolans. I mean, it looks like Krypton is going to be a DCEU prequel, only unofficially. Krypton itself looks like it does in the Man of Steel films.
I mean, but Russell Crowe's not going to be there.
No. So it's not connected, but it could be... unofficially connected. Yeah. I mean, the only time I have seen dragons on Krypton was in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Until this Krypton trailer. It looks very similar.
Like it.
And maybe they're not dragons, but there was something flying with wingspan.
But it looks more a prequel to Man of Steel than it does Superman the movie or, you know, Superman Returns or whatever.
And they actually do something better in this trailer. When you've got the codex or the key or whatever they're going to call it, and they place it on a bigger S plate, and it lights up yellow and red. That's something we didn't get in Man of Steel, with it being a very muted movie. I don't know. I'm interested. As a Superman fan, I am interested, but it does at the same time have the Sci-Fi Channel quality to it. I think if we're going to get a full series, maybe it's not always going to look as good as the pilot does in this trailer.
Yes. Let's do that little segment we like to do. It's All About You is what you named it. I said I'd change the name, but I didn't.
And you didn't. It's a good title. I like it.
Because I'm making this show all about you.
Thanks, mate.
Anyway, and I know you're a big Disney fan, so the first thing I want you to do is list for me...
I am not going to do well at this, I will just say. You're telling people I'm a big Disney fan. I don't know how well I'm going to do.
I'm not quizzing you. It's not really a quiz. Just give me your three favourite Disney animated movies. In your opinion,
number one
out of the five that you've seen,
number one would be Peter Pan.
Okay. I mean, correct choice, I suppose.
Number two, and Peter Pan is a favorite from when I was a kid. I guess as I was older, The Incredibles, but I'll keep Pan. Incredibles, okay. Number two, and number three would be Robin Hood.
Interesting, cool. This one
So those three choices don't sound right to me, but it's what I'll stick with.
That's okay. You know, let's make it clear that he didn't say The Lion King. He didn't say, like, you know, Toy Story. There wasn't any... Anyway, that's fine. All good.
I threw a Pixar movie in there.
Pixar's allowed. Oh, I want two answers for this one. So give me the scariest villain and or monster, like a legitimate from a movie that you've seen, scary... And the best villain, in your opinion?
Oh, wow. This is really hard. okay, villain, monster, I'm going to go Freddy Krueger.
Sure, yeah. Cool.
Always a constant.
Like a legit scares.
When I was a kid,
yeah.
Probably too young to be watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Maybe that's why it's stuck with me today. And the best.
Like the best villain. Not necessarily scary, just.
Okay, best villain. I'm just going to, you know, first thing that pops into my head, I'm going to go Hans Gruber, Die Hard.
Interesting. I was like, I could have put money on either Hans Gruber or Darth Vader. So
I could tell you it would not have been Darth Vader.
I just think the go-to answer would be Darth Vader.
Lopan before Darth Vader.
Wow, okay.
But I'm going to go Hans Gruber.
Excellent choice. Correct answer. Off the top of your head, real quick, three best Robin Williams movies.
Hook, which is my number one.
Correct.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Sure, yeah.
He's popping into my head. And Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
Just to give it a bit of a balance.
Very good. And our last one, just to wrap this up. Give me a TV show that you were late getting on the train to. So basically it was popular, but you put off because you're stubborn, but then you ended up liking it. So late to the party.
I could have used Breaking Bad, but I haven't yet started that one.
I'll ask you again in 2 years and you'll say Breaking Bad.
A show that I came to, like, Key and Peele.
Oh, yes, okay,
the sketch
cool.
show. So I came to that when it was wrapping up. Yeah.
People loved it. Late for the train. Cool. Sounds good. Let's get into movie news then. You can start us off.
Josh Brolin will play Cable opposite Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool 2. I think the last few movie shows we've been talking about who we think will play Cable.
It's been a long run.
He never came up.
Not once. Well, he's Thanos. Let's just throw it in there. And now I know it's different studios, different Marvel movies.
But is it okay, though?
I mean,
personally,
when Chris Evans was, you know, Johnny Storm. Too many Johnnies. And then he, you know, he was Captain America. It was like, it's okay, because that Fantastic Four franchise is gone.
And it wasn't at the same time.
Yeah, same thing with Ben Affleck, Daredevil, and now Batman. You know, that Daredevil's gone.
It's the first time that it's happened at the same time.
And the series are still running, so are we okay with it?
But he's playing a character that's under prosthetics. You know what? Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Because
I think he will make a good Cable.
Yeah. He's no Pierce Brosnan, but
he's not, upon hearing it, I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
He's a, what would it be like his third, what was he, Jonah Hex? And some other comic films.
Yeah, he did that a few years ago. Wasn't successful at all. If you're unfamiliar, and I think everybody out there listening at this point is familiar with Cable, in the comics, he was transported as an infant to the future, where he grew into a warrior before returning to the present. And his parents, his dad is Cyclops, and his mum is a clone of Jean Grey or something. They're not his straight parents. There's a clone or a demon or a phoenix or there's something else going on. But that's Cable. Pretty straightforward, right?
Sure, yes.
Also, Leslie Uggams will reprise the role of Blind Al in the sequel.
I think that's fair enough.
My thoughts are,
I mean, she was the standout in Deadpool, was she not?
Yeah, my thought is that anything that worked in that first one, bring it back.
Bring it back, yeah. Give us more.
I mean, the director, we know we're not getting him back, but you know, Blind Al was a great character.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't one of the things that didn't work. There weren't really many of those things. But yeah, no, that's perfect. So bring it on. So we keep it in the X-Men Fox universe, right? After being referred to for months as X-Men Supernova, Fox's upcoming sequel to X-Men, or like, you know, what we got next, apparently has an official title, X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Which makes you think they're going to have another go at the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yeah, I don't know if we got it in The Last Stand, the third X-Men.
They tried, but they just confined it. And instead of it being this wide story, it took place in a forest.
Yeah, I think it was sort of like The Last Stand had like their A story, and then the Phoenix stuff was a subplot. It was just a thing for her character to do. And then they didn't explore it the way that they could have. And I think they've got a good actress. Sophie Turner's in place to continue on and play Jean Grey. And I think they can really use her and market her as a front man for the X-Men franchise.
All right, some Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 news, which I think this is the first time that one of us has given news on a movie, and the co-host has already seen the movie. So what I am going to say, what I have heard, is that the movie will have 5 post-credit scenes. Jason, is that correct?
I was counting them as I watched them.
I have a legitimate source. Jason, that was your podcast.
Like, 100% guaranteed, yes. And but it, you know, it's not to the extent of, you know, we're not going to have Nick Fury.
We don't want to know. And you said too much already. No, you have said too much already.
I'm just saying they're not mind blowing, sort of fun. Much like sorry, in the first people. Film. You can't
get like, ready to be disappointed. Thanks, could, Jason.
If I hadn't already seen the movie, I would be saying I'm sure the 5 post credit scenes.
You need to stop talking. What I will add to this, just to shut him up, James Gunn has confirmed that he will write and direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
None of the cars are coming back, but they all died.
Can you see what I'm trying to put up with people? Stop talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm regretting putting this story in there now. Wait, but this will be
the first... review is coming, by the way.
It is.
Soon.
As soon as I've watched it. This will be the first time that a director has made a trilogy. The Russo brothers did Captain America 2, 3.
In the MCU, you mean, yeah?
And then, yeah. That's where we are. And then they, you know, they're doing the Avengers movies. But to do a solid trilogy of movies, James Gunn is going to be the first. So the fact that he's coming back to write and direct without seeing the second movie.
I mean, that's an honour, isn't it?
I think he's just great.
Some directors don't even get their full movie.
Next story that's not related to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
But close. Captain Marvel, the directing pair of Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck have signed on to direct the Captain Marvel film. They are best known for directing 2015's Mississippi Grind, which starred Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn. I haven't seen this film.
I was kind of hoping you had.
Bam.
Cool.
So all right, well, that's awesome.
A thing.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Well, it seems like they're going the indie route again. It worked with the Russos. Look,
if it's not a director so much... that we're unfamiliar with, yeah, that's it. Lesser known.
Yeah, lesser known, smaller budget, give them a big blockbuster. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Civil War. So hopefully, you know, Marvel has done right again. Kevin Feige bringing these guys in.
But a director team, like there's 2 of them, much like the Russo brothers, could get some real good stuff out of this. So, and I'm really keen for Captain Marvel.
And a lady director as well. A lady superhero film. Well, do you think that was intentional?
Half a director is a lady.
Yeah. Get it together.
Yeah. But, you know, that's cool.
Spider-Man news. Casting, but animated and not Peter Parker. The actor Shameik Moore, you may know him from Dope or the Netflix TV series The Get Down. There's the ever-present Netflix bell. He will voice the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man in the upcoming animated movie from Sony Pictures.
Sure.
Liv Schreiber, you may know him from movies that he's in and the TV series Ray Donovan. Come on, people know Liv Schreiber.
He was in an X-Men film.
He was. X-Men Origins Wolverine. There you go. He's also joining the film. He will play the villain. The character's identity is being kept locked tight, so we don't yet know who he's going to be.
Mm.
Phil Lord wrote the movie and is producing alongside his Lego Movie and Han Solo movie co-director, Chris Miller. So, I'm interested.
Yeah, and I think, not to show my hand of this other film, but the Lego Batman movie, same guys, well, like, producing anyway. I think that movie proved that you can do another version of these characters. You know, it's animated, be it Lego or not, have it be a comedy. It doesn't affect, you know, the wider span of films. Cool. I'm happy. I'm good.
And I like that it's not Peter Parker.
Something different again.
And although we don't yet have a official title.
Spider-Man the animated film.
Well, it's referred to as Animated Spider-Man. And I've even seen a logo to that.
But that would be a weird title.
But still saying it's
like you don't call... You know, not that, you know, to go the opposite of like doing a live action, you don't go the animated, like, then you don't call a movie the live action version of, not an official title.
I mean, personally, I don't mind Animated Spider-Man. It's what it says on the tin. It's exactly what it is. But then I mean, where do you put
not it? Incorrect.
But then when you've got your shelf, where do you put it in alphabetical order when you get the Blu-ray? After, do you put it in S with Spider-Man
depending,
or A?
Depending on how many movies you got after Amazing Spider-Man.
I don't have that. Oh, no, I do.
Surely you
damn,
do.
I do.
And you don't have Amazing
I missed
Spider-Man
it at the cinema, so I bought it on Blu-ray. Regretted it immediately. Basketball scene. Ruined the whole movie for me. Next story.
Those movies had some problems. Anyway, an animated... No. Anyway, so Dolph Lundgren has joined the cast of Aquaman. Lundgren will play King Nereus of the aquatic kingdom of Zebel, who claims Mira as his own and wants to kill Aquaman. Sounds like a pretty villainous guy. But we've had an update from James Wan, the director. He called me earlier today. He said that Lundgren's character is not quite a villain, so he has some qualities there, but...
I'm so happy that Lundgren is in this movie. We've seen him recently.
Like, I don't care what he's playing.
We've seen him recently. DCTV, Arrow, he's playing a villain in that. And yeah, and he's hitting the big time. He's joining the DCEU. Good stuff. We're getting an animated adaption of Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' Watchmen. And it's going to be made for video. So straight to DVD, Blu-ray release.
I'm cool to watch this. I'm happy. I wonder if it'd be a little bit more. Not that the live-action Watchmen was almost like panel to panel, a lot of it, except
it was
for
very faithful to the original source material.
A few big changes, especially towards the end.
No squid.
I wonder if there'll be a squid.
I think there
basically
will be.
What I'm trying to say.
I think they're doing this whole movie just to include the squid.
Just for the squid.
Maybe. I can't really speak to that. All I know is that it's coming.
Alrighty. Ryan Johnson, I think it is actually. He's confirmed that Star Wars The Last Jedi being singular. So, however, who that last Jedi may be is still open to interpretation. But so, no more of this speculation of it. Could be lots of Jedi. Could be a team of Jedi.
And listening to you, I've just realised that, yes, we did get a Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer. And yes, we did include it in
Trailer Talk.
That trailer happened. This is unprecedented. Let's talk about it now. That was a great trailer.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Usually we quickly watch them before. Not fresh in my mind.
Well, it ends with Luke wanting to put in a stop to the Jedi.
Yeah, he's like, their last days or something comes, or something along those lines. You know, I find the first shot.
You are so excited about
that. Oh, no. How did we forget this?
I have no idea. People. We remembered Krypton.
I always want to... Not obviously you're listening to this and it's edited this way, but I want an edit version where we do it at the start. But never mind. It opens the same as the Force Awakens trailer, where what's his name? I forget his name. Finn?
Again, we normally do research.
No, but he pops up and sort of exhausted, and the music is all like boom. But this one, I think it's Rey who wakes up and it's all like boom. And she's
sorry for these sound effects, guys. If you're listening with headphones, I'm not sure how it's sounding to you right now.
The trailer didn't hit me on the same chord as when I saw the first Force Awakens trailer, where it was all like, whoa, this is Star Wars.
That
really
was so new and it had been away for so long. But this is a solid trailer.
Looks good. There's things flying around. There's a lot of action and stuff. Doesn't reveal too much of the story, except that Luke has an agenda of sorts.
And he's in it. Which I'm pleased about.
He speaks.
He does.
He speaks.
And he sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I've always been a Luke Skywalker fan. And he's good. That he's voice. In it. That's why, you know, when we did our review for The Force Awakens, and you get to the end of the movie and you finally see Luke and end credits. No. I would have spent more time with Luke Skywalker. Anywho, back to movie news.
So, this is the trailer. Yeah, cool.
Yep.
You can move on.
Have you got more that you want to say?
No. One Jedi. That's it. That was the story.
One Jedi. Labyrinth. David Bowie as the Goblin King. A favourite to most. Well, it is getting a sequel. Fede Alvarez. You may know him as the writer-director of Don't Breathe.
Great film.
Great film. So he's going to be writing-directing the long-rumoured follow-up to Labyrinth, the 1986 Jim Henson movie. That, again, David Bowie as the Goblin King. If you haven't seen it, though... I think most people have. Labyrinth tells of a teenager played by Jennifer Connelly who has to navigate a fantastical maze in order to save her young brother who has been kidnapped by the Goblin King. The film will not feature the Goblin King character.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I guess, obviously against this film, especially after the passing of David Bowie. I mean, does hopefully this kind of helps with their, like, ease their pain that the Goblin King won't be in the film. So
I know for a studio, brand awareness is an important thing. Like, it's easier to sell a movie if somebody already has an idea of what it is. But if you're taking away the Goblin King, is it going to feel like Labyrinth? Because he was a big part of that movie.
I think there's enough of the rest of the film that they can build off.
Do you think the other characters they'll bring back?
Yeah, like, I mean, it would have been good to maybe get this film 5 years ago or something. But if we're going to get it, at least, yeah, they're not going to recast him or try and redo what's already been done. Not that they need this film anyway. But regardless. Anyway, so Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them too. We've had some casting news. Jude Law been cast in the sequel playing Dumbledore. Yes, that guy. So long before he became the headmaster at Hogwarts, as he has been known in the Harry Potter books and movies. I'm sure you're all familiar. You're a big fan.
I recently watched Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
Didn't like it.
Cool. Me neither. No, no, it was okay. But, like, got nothing on the Harry Potter movies. So your opinion on Jude, you got nothing. That's cool. I'm just looking at your blank face. I'll take the lead on this one.
I thought, what can I say?
Jude Law pretty much gives the same performance each time.
I like Jude Law, and I think
if he does something different with this to at least emulate what Dumbledore eventually becomes, then fine.
I'm going
to
say I think it's good casting, but Harry Potter,
I don't think
Fantastic Beasts is nothing to me. Yeah. So I don't feel as though I've got an opinion on this.
I hope he proves me wrong, but I don't think he's going to give the correct delivery of character. So, and we've also got Callum Turner cast. You know him from Green Room and Assassin's Creed, set to play Newt Scamander's brother. Exciting. Now the script.
You know what?
Yeah,
this kid Callum does look like Eddie Redmayne.
Well, that's good casting.
So they've done really well in that regard.
Thanks for your input. The script by J.K. Rowling is said to move deeper into an increasingly dark time for the Wizarding World, where Newt Scamander and our other heroes have to decide on their allegiances.
Right.
You're pumped as I can
tell. I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. We'll see how we go.
Okay. Moving on. Will Smith is in early talks to join Disney's live-action remake of Aladdin in the genie role. Thoughts?
Now, let me tell you what I think of this. Robin Williams, the genie there, obviously it's something you don't want to touch. I think if they're going to do this live action thing, you don't want to replicate or try and do what they've already done.
Well, they replicated with the second movie, didn't they? Because Williams didn't come back for that.
That's true, but it was, you know, he was alive. It was a little less touchy there. Like, you know, it was. They usually do that with you know, the TV versions or the cartoon versions of the films. But I think I read somewhere that what they want to do with this one is, look, they've got Aladdin, the live stage musical thing. They've got a guy cast in the genie role there, and it's a lot different. It's by a black actor, and there's a bit more sort of, I guess, culture in the role sort of thing. So I think if they do have Will Smith in the role, I think they can do something a lot different. And I think that's the way they should do it. So Will Smith he can be a big character if he wants to be. Thinking like Fresh Prince kind of style. Like just bring in the Zazz.
I wasn't worried until you just said what you just said. Are we not going to get a blue genie?
Oh, right? No, he might still be blue. No,
Will
he might
Smith
still be blue.
Will go blue?
I'd imagine it would still be it would be CGI and stuff. It wouldn't.
And they'll just do the voice.
It wouldn't just
and
be Will Smith capture. Like walking around. Like,
that's what I was thinking when you were talking about a stage show.
I just mean like Will Smith delivering, you know, like his sassy, cool black guy lines, you know, like, hey, Al, but like not.
Do you think we
hey,
could
Al,
use like, cool, sassy black guy lines as an episode title? Or do you think it's a bit too risque?
We might think about it. Obviously, you guys know because it's either our title or it's not.
Well, this movie is being directed by Guy Ritchie. You'd know him from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Rock and Roller, you know, films like Aladdin.
he's done that King Arthur film that's yet to come out.
Which is, he's trying to ground in reality, although there is big elephants.
Well, that's okay.
Well, they are saying that they're going to be keeping the musical elements of the 1992 film.
Alan Menken, that's where I heard that story from, where he's talking about the live show. Anyway, sorry.
Just think of the great rap track we'll get over the opening credits.
The genie laying down a theme song.
If you're going to have a musical, I mean, Will Smith is kind of a good option, I think.
At first, I was afraid.
Then I was petrified.
No, but I thought about it and I was like, yeah, that's what I've got to do. Something completely different. As long as they keep the core, the genie's just a big flamboyant character. Will Smith can do that.
He can do that.
And do it differently. Fast and Furious. Not the 9th film, but a spin-off. What? So after an initial...
The 9th film is coming. And a spin-off.
But this story. After initial reports that a Fate of the Furious end credit scene teasing a team-up between Dwayne Johnson's agent Luke Hobbs and Jason Statham's Deckard Shaw was removed at the last minute, Universal Pictures has now begun development on that idea as the first Furious spin-off.
I'm in.
Of course you are.
I'm in. I was going to recommend the Fate of the Furious when we get to the recommend section. I've decided against that, not because I don't want to recommend it. I just feel as though a lot of people are talking about this movie anyway.
It's made enough money. I don't think we need
to
push that.
I like to shine a light on something else. So I'll just talk about it a little bit here.
Yeah, okay.
I really enjoyed this film. It's not as good for me as 7, but it's a big, over-the-top, fun movie.
Mm.
There's certain elements like character traits that worked in previous movies that have turned up a little too much.
Yeah.
Mainly with Tyrese Gibson as Pierce. Too much. The Rock, I think at times, was a bit too big of a personality.
Well, he's going to be returning for Jason, 9.
He is.
So
Jason Statham, as Shaw, is brilliant in this film. I liked him as the bad guy in 7, and he is really good in this. So the idea of them pairing up in a spin-off, I'm completely on board with. I would just like The Rock to turn it down slightly.
Just a little bit. Notes for the next film. But was, speaking of this spin-off, was the Tokyo Drift not a spin-off?
No, that was just a third movie.
Wow.
Where Vin Diesel walked away from the franchise after the first one. Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson teamed up on part 2. And then the 4th movie is when they brought back all the originals, including Vin Diesel. And then 5 is where The Rock joined the franchise.
But then, like, the 3rd movie is just a whole bunch of different characters. Is that not the concept of a spin-off?
The 3rd movie, not really, because then they did a thing with the timeline where I think the 3rd movie takes place at the end of the 6th movie.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Honestly, this franchise has such strong continuity. It holds up.
Oh, they're doing better than X-Men then, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a moment in this film that it really struck me hard. It's towards the end that I won't say what it is, but I was in a packed cinema and I could feel my eyes welling.
Wow.
Packs quite an emotional punch. So again, ordinarily, I would recommend
it. Looney Tunes make you cry.
This movie has heart. It's very silly, don't get me wrong, but it has heart. And yeah, so The Rock has been confirmed as returning for part 9. So I guess the feud that he had going with Vin Diesel has been resolved. Maybe the box office so far for 8 is enough to sweep it under the rug.
Hey man, we made lots of money together. Let's keep doing it.
Well, Vin Diesel has come out and said that he will be stopping the franchise at 10. So that's just going to mean 10 movies over 2 decades.
That's such a satisfying number.
It's a good number.
That's a good number.
But then, when you have the spin-offs...
Oh, that's 11.
If successful, it's going to be way more than 11.
Oh, after 10 spin-offs.
Speaking of sequels, action sequels, Escape Plan 3. We've not even had 2 yet.
Yeah, is 2 on its way?
It's on its way, but it's not here. Sylvester Stallone is set to return as security expert Ray Breslin in part 3.
Okay.
Cool. No Arnie in 2. No word of him in 3. But Stallone's coming back.
So are you. Now, here's a sequel I know we've all wanted, surely. A Coming to America sequel is in the works. With the original film screenwriters Barry Bluestein and David Sheffield signed to write the script, it is being written as a vehicle for Eddie Murphy's Prince Hakim of the fictional country of Zamunda to return.
And you've got to think at this point, maybe he is the king.
Oh.
That's a twist.
I mean, he was trying to find a a queen. And where do you find a queen?
New York.
Oh, I'm going to say Queens. Do it again, do it again. Anyway, the original film was directed by Queens. Shut up. It's too late. The original film, directed by John Landis, starred Murphy as a wealthy African prince who comes to Queens, New York, posing as a poor man to search for a bride.
And I love this movie so much.
It's definitely a classic. So many good lines. Fuck like a dog. Woof!
Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, great together.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Like,
I'm really surprised to see the title of the movie with a number two at the end of it. Never did I think this movie would get a sequel, but here we are.
And I have no reason to not want it. Everyone's coming back. Well, at least Eddie Murphy is, so that's all good.
If they're saying that the guys that wrote the first one are writing this one, yeah.
Yeah, and we're good, yeah.
And especially if Murphy's coming back, and come on, he has to.
It's not just like a... It's not a Jingle All the Way 2 or something. You know? Like something.
Yeah, I don't want Larry the Cable Guy.
Like, are we done yet? Or did that still have... Anyway, I don't know.
This next story, I thought I'd include it. It's not one that we'd usually have. It's pretty random, I think. But it's just the pairing of the two leads.
It's the names, yeah.
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 Christopher Lloyd will be teaming up with William Shatner in a new romantic comedy called Senior Moment.
Is it a romantic comedy?
It is a romantic comedy. Not the romantic leads.
Okay.
But it is a romantic comedy.
Interesting film.
In the film, Shatner plays a retired Top Gun Navy pilot who used to test aircraft for NASA. After speeding around town in his vintage convertible hot rod with his best friend, played by Lloyd, he gets caught in a major crackdown to get dangerous senior drivers off the road, resulting in his car being impounded and his license revoked. Not the plot, the two actors I'm interested in this movie.
That's it. I mean,
Senior Moment. Who else is talking about this movie?
Yeah.
That many people.
Yeah. I mean, Shatner and Lloyd. Doc and Kirk.
That's it. Like, working together again for the first time since, what was it, Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock? That's the one where Lloyd was a Klingon.
I think
number 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's one of them. Anyway.
I think we're having a senior moment.
It gets hard. Now, we've got some news on The Nuns. That's the spin-off, or the other spin-off from The Conjuring. Tessa Farmiga, now that's actually the younger sister of Vera Farmiga, who plays Lorraine in The Conjuring, is set to star in the spin-off movie, The Nun. So she'll be playing a younger version of the evil nun demon who terrorizes Ed and Lorraine Warren in The Conjuring 2. It's all coming together.
I'm going to watch all these movies, all The Conjurings, all the Annabelles, The Nuns, all of them. But do you think it's going to be distracting, though? Because Tessa does look like a sister. You're going to be watching
The Nun. She
doesn't,
really.
I think she looks enough like her to watch The Nun, and I'm going to be like, why does The Nun look like Lorraine Warren?
That much scarier. Like, you're probably familiar with her in the DC animated films. She plays, what's her name?
Who does? What are you talking about?
That Tessa. Yeah, she plays that hooded one.
Raven.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that's who she was.
Anyway. She's also in, like, American Horror Story, a few of those seasons. But, when I found out they were sisters, it's like, obviously there's an age gap, but I think they look far enough different that, I think it's going to be okay. You'll be all right. You'll get through it.
Again, I'm watching all the Nuns, all the Annabelles,
It doesn't matter. All right, well, that's it for movie news. We'll have TV news soon. But just to break it up a bit.
Oh, you're teasing.
Let me read you some TV theme song lyrics. And this is probably going to be the last I'm going to do because there aren't that many TV theme songs with lyrics.
Not modern shows.
No.
You'd have to go back.
And they're all pretty bad. They're not bad, but they're all back then. You want to go where people know.
Cheers.
Far out, buddy. Let me finish.
But it's Cheers. It's one of the most
people
iconic
are all the same
songs.
You want to go where everybody knows your name. These are actually all pretty easy now that I think about it. Love and Marriage.
Married with Children.
Go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell your brother, you can't have one without the other.
You don't have to continue if I get
do,
it.
I do, because I wrote them down and I put in effort. All the little chicks with their crimson lips go, Cleveland rocks, Cleveland rocks, living in sin with a safety pin.
I don't know this one.
Oh, thank God.
What is it?
I got one. This is Drew Carey, or the Drew Carey Show.
You know, I went through a Drew Carey Show phase.
Did you?
I did. What's working at Blockbuster Video?
Okay.
That phase ended years and years ago, just like Blockbuster Video.
Maybe if I sound like Cleveland Rocks. Nothing.
No, doing nothing.
I don't remember.
Oh, I watched the show, but that's not, like, you've gone from Cheers, Marriage with Children, Drew Carey Show.
I've got to mix it up. So over the bridge from Flushing to the Sheffield's door, he was there to sell makeup, but the father saw more. She had style. She had flair. She was there.
No idea.
Really?
Really.
Oh, the nanny.
Right.
I thought that would be too easy for you.
I was too busy watching Lois and Clark in the 90s. I didn't watch the nanny.
The man had a taste. Okay, now onto some TV news.
Supergirl.
Good place to start.
Supergirl is. Yeah, why not? Canadian character actor Mark Gibbon has been cast as General Zod, which is awesome. Season one, we got Narn, and now we're going to get Zod. Now, just to give a recap of the character, Zod has appeared in live action numerous times, first being portrayed by Terrence Stamp in Superman 2, and again decades later by Michael Shannon in Man of Steel. The character also made an appearance on Smallville, portrayed by Callum Blue. So we've had Zod before, but now he's coming to Smallville.
And who's your favourite?
Oh, Terrence Stamp.
Correct. There's nobody else.
There's nobody else. Zod will make his Supergirl debut in the season finale. Superman, played by Tyler Hoechlin, and Cat Grant, played by Calista Flockhart, will also make appearances in the episode. And I think Flockhart as Cat Grant will be in the last two episodes of the season.
Her character's obviously sort of drifted away a little
bit. She did the first episode of season two, and then, yeah, she's coming to bookend it at the end.
Sure.
The idea that Superman's coming back, and again, we got to see him for the first time in the season two premiere. I think it's a great way to cap off the season. And then to have the big bad be Zod. I mean, I'm loving this show anyway.
It's going places.
But General Zod.
Yeah, great villain. For it. Now, Arrow, the upcoming finale of Arrow's fifth season, will see the return of Manu Bennett, or Bennett even, probably, in his role as Deathstroke. Now, we had an update on this story in a tweet Bennett wrote. He says, "For the record, I'm not going back for Arrow." So, you know, it's unclear if the actor is denying the story or if he's saying his character just won't be coming after the Green Arrow. But someone else, I guess. So what's your thoughts? You reckon, is he trying to...
It's been very confusing. It's like, you are or you aren't. I don't know why he's playing these games.
I think he would say...
But we've just had a sizzle reel for the end of the season, and it ends... You don't see Deathstroke, but you see Green Arrow approaching a cell, which is where we last got to see Deathstroke, and the voice sounds just like Manu Bennett.
I think if he was going to deny going back to the show, he would have said, "For the record, I'm not going back to Arrow," or something. He says "For Arrow."
As you said with that maybe it's a case of like Deathstroke. What I think is going to happen, so you've got the big bad of the season, Prometheus. I think we're going to see a teaming up of Green Arrow and Deathstroke together. And I really hope that that's what it is. So maybe Bennett is just playing around. And that, yeah, he's coming back, but he's not coming after the Green Arrow.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think it is. Because if he isn't in it, based on that sizzle reel, the person they've got does a spot-on impression. Because, again, you don't see him, but it sounds just like him. Aqualad voice actor... Cary Payton, you may know him as Ezekiel on The Walking Dead, has confirmed that he's set to work on voice recording for the upcoming Young Justice Season 3. This news has me so excited. Season 1 and 2 of Young Justice, a big fan. I think most DC fans have a big love of this show. Season 3 has no release date yet, but it's coming. I'm excited.
I'm just smile and nod.
Smile away, boys. Smile away.
That's it. Now, New Warriors. All right, so Freeform and Marvel have revealed the six main characters for their upcoming comedy series, New Warriors. So we'll just quickly scream. Scrim? Is that a word? Just
no.
Whatever. Not a word. I'm just going to run through them.
Reel through them.
Doreen Greens, that's Squirrel Girl. Superpowers, she is acrobatic, strong, can fight, and can talk to squirrels.
And we did talk about her last time. 2 weeks ago, we only knew about Squirrel Girl.
We knew she was going to be in it, and that's as far as it is. We've got Craig Hollis, that's Mr. Immortal. Superpower, can't die. Makes sense in the name.
It really does.
Dwayne Taylor, Night Trasher. Superpower, trashes the night. No, he has no superpowers, but he's a local celebrity hero with his very own YouTube channel. Brilliant, strong, noble, and maybe a bit full of himself. Dwayne is a shameless self-promoter. We've got Robbie Baldwin, Speedball. Superpower, can launch kinetic balls of energy. He grew up watching Quinjet's takeoff from Avengers Tower and loves the idea of being a hero. So although you would think, you know, throwing kinetic balls of energy would be awesome and effective, his are completely out of control. So bit of a misfit there. Zach Smith, or Microbe. He can talk to germs. Always wanted that one. The germs tell him where you've been, what you ate, and who you hung out with. It's impossible to keep secrets around him. Now, Deborah Fields is Debris with two eyes. Superpower, low-level telekinetic trickster.
What this tells me, the big characters are out. we've got Spider-Man, Thor, Iron Man.
Is that where we're? This is where we are.
So what can he do? Oh, you know, yeah, he can talk to germs. What about this guy over here? Oh, you know, he can't die. Right.
But I mean, it is different. You've got the run of comics. You've got all these characters in this same universe in the comic. You've got this established universe. There are people who exist who aren't Spider-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, etc. Like, they exist.
They do. I just didn't think we'd get to see them in live action.
Have we gotten to a point where it's like, you're like, where? How did we get here? Have we gone too far? Will it end?
I mean, I never knew we would get here. Like, I didn't know it would become what it is today. That there'd be that much.
I mean, I know you like
that many comic adaptions.
I always like to say it. You're a little bit older than me, but you know,
you do like to say
we were a part of an age group where, you know, we had Lois and Clark, we had Smallville, an odd Superman show here and there, maybe something else. They tried to do an X-Men show, you know, like...
Generation X.
Yeah.
Failed pilot.
Not much really happened.
And now there's so much. We're getting a live-action Squirrel Girl.
Well, there's just not enough time in the day.
But I feel as though they're hedging the bets. They're packaging this as a comedy.
Yeah.
So if people start laughing at it, you're supposed to.
Yeah, that's it. That's the right thing.
Star Wars Rebels, the upcoming fourth season, will be the last. Is this a show that you've watched?
Nah.
I was in full Star Wars frenzy with The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I wanted more Star Wars. I was reading the Marvel comics. I was watching Rebels. Really enjoyed the first season. I started season two, but then dropped off. Not because I wasn't enjoying it. It just got away from me.
Yeah.
You know, again, speaking about all the other TV shows. Good show, but it is ending. Star Wars Rebels is set just before the events of 1977 Star Wars and focuses on the ragtag crew of the Ghost and the fledgling rebellion as they rise up against the tightening grip of the Galactic Empire. So with that in mind, how far could they really keep going?
1977.
Well, that's right, because if they keep going, they're going to be in Rogue One territory.
And that's it. And we've seen that. But look, maybe... Now that it's being rounded out, maybe it's a good time to go back and watch them all, either once they're done or just as we get to the end of it, something to watch.
Hopefully, they'll put it on Netflix. We've got the Clone Wars on there already, but not yet. In fact, you know what? When they put it on Netflix, I'll watch it.
When it's on Netflix.
No, you don't have to do the bell again.
Okay, I'm waiting for it. All right. Doctor Who. Who dat? David Bradley, we know him as Mr. Filch in Harry Potter. Well, you probably wouldn't.
Well, that's the thing. When I was preparing this story, I tailored this just for you, Jason.
He's set to portray the First Doctor in this year's Doctor Who Christmas special, which will mark the final appearance of Peter Capaldi's 12th Doctor.
What's interesting about this is that
Tell me.
You're not going to know this. I know you're not.
No.
Bradley previously portrayed William Hartnell, the actor behind the First Doctor, in the BBC's Doctor Who 50th anniversary drama, An Adventure in Space and Time. The plot will reportedly see the First Doctor joining forces with the 12th in order to save their home planet Gallifrey by moving it to another dimension. Now, Bradley looks just like William Hartnell, and that's why they used him in the drama.
Sure.
So if you're going to feature the first version of the Doctor, just go back to Bradley. It's perfect. CGI. Just go to this guy that looks like the guy. I'm excited about this person.
There's definitely, yeah, there's a logic there. That's just, and that's my input.
Mark Gatiss has confirmed that the League of Gentlemen will be returning for an anniversary special. Are you familiar with this series?
Only from what you've told me.
Okay.
To be honest.
That's probably enough for this story.
Yeah.
It is not yet known when the reunion special will be made, but Rhys Shearsmith, one of the League of Gentlemen, has previously mentioned that 2019 would be a good year for a new TV special, as it would mark 20 years since they introduced their Dark World and characters to television.
Mm. So you obviously came.
I love it.
You love it?
Royston Vasey, League of Gentlemen. I'm still watching the guys. Mark Gatiss is responsible for Sherlock. And I've recommended previously on this podcast the TV show Inside Number 9, which is Steve Pemberton and Rhys Shearsmith working together.
Right, yeah.
So more League of Gentlemen is great. If they're going to come back and just do one more special, I'm happy with that. 20th anniversary, brilliant.
Okay, now that's it for all the news. Our segment that we hate doing, but here it is. They will be missed. Now we've got two on this show. The first one, Charlie Murphy. Not Eddie Murphy, but Charlie Murphy.
And you thought the same thing I thought when I was scrolling.
What happens on Facebook when you scroll, you see... Oh, very...
I thought we'd lost Eddie.
I saw Murphy. I saw the picture of obviously Charlie, but man, he looks like Eddie.
And don't get me wrong, it's bad when we lose anybody. But yeah, my first thought when I saw the picture, again, they look so much like each other.
Now, Charlie Murphy is obviously, the older brother of Eddie Murphy. He's an actor, comedian, voice artist, and writer, best known as a writer and cast member of the Comedy Central sketch comedy series, Chappelle's Show.
Have you watched the Chappelle Show?
Yeah, bits and pieces throughout the years, but not all like full ground. Some funny stuff. So yeah, he will be missed indeed. The second person we've got is Erin Moran, the actress best known for playing Joni Cunningham on the television sitcom Happy Days and its spin-off Joni Loves Chachi. Another familiar face to probably many families.
I grew up watching Happy Days. I watched so much Happy Days. Yeah. And I watched it as a kid, and I didn't know it was made in the 80s. I thought
it was made from the 50s.
An old-time show from the 50s.
Oh, they did well. But yeah, familiar face that I'm sure a lot of people recognize and stuff. Yeah, once again, another she will be missed. Let's do some recommends. I'll let you go for it.
Again, I was going to go for The Fate of the Furious, but I thought I'd shoehorn it in earlier in the podcast.
Made $1 billion, it's fine, but it's still an okay.
I'm technically having two, but that's okay. I write the rules. I'm going to recommend a Netflix show, Santa Clarita Diet.
Okay, I saw the first episode.
And last night, I finished the season.
Wow.
Just 10 episodes, and I'd been enjoying it throughout, but I think I'd recommended shows prematurely before, like Designated Survivor. Mm. I recommended that and I was thoroughly enjoying it. And although it's still okay, with Santa Clarita Diet, I thought I'll wait until the whole thing wraps
before you
and
recommend.
Then see if I'm going to recommend it. And hand on heart, this is a really funny show. It's a black comedy. If you're unfamiliar, you have Sheila, played by Drew Barrymore, and her husband Joel, played by Timothy Oliphant. Yep. I can never say his name. Is that right?
I think it's Oliphant.
Oliphant.
Oh,
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
I'm recommending something that Tim did. I want to say his name right.
Something that Tim did.
Something that Tim did. So as a married couple, they are real estate agents in Santa Clarita, California. That's where the title comes from. When Sheila dies. But the show continues. Their lives take a dark turn and she becomes a zombie.
Yes.
The Walking Dead. This is a really fun, dark show, solid performances by Timothy Andrew. I love the show. If you have Netflix, definitely check it out. 10 half hour episodes, and the chemistry between the two leads is just on point. This is a fun show. And Jason, if you just watched the first episode, honestly, it's worth just seeing it through.
Oh, I have no intentions of not going back to it. Just haven't got to it. But yeah, the first episode, yeah, it seemed
it's hard to watch with food.
Okay.
We've just had Easter. I had a few Easter eggs around the place.
Yeah.
And I was about to have one whilst watching Santa Clarita
Diet. Like a steak or something.
Like, it's a bit risky, but I think I'll be okay. And then something happened and I had to put my chocolate down. But it's a great show. Mild.
I don't know how gory it gets, but yeah, the first episode.
Incredibly gory. You've got no idea.
Eating flesh, there's vomit.
It's pretty gory.
Everywhere, from what I recall. Everywhere. Okay, my recommend, I've already mentioned it today, actually, but the Lego Batman movie. So I'm sure if you listen to us, you know all about this. It's the first spin-off of the Lego movie. So it's not one of those cheaply made, just Lego movie offshoots that you'd see direct DVD or on TV.
I think the big difference, this one is a comedy and they're just like kids action.
Yeah, well, they're funny. Like they've got jokes and stuff, just like the Lego games. But yeah, it's got that animation quality to it. It's got production. It's all there. And of course, Will Arnett's back as Batman. Zach Galifianakis as Joker. Michael Cera Robin. Rosario Dawson as Barbara Gordon. And Ralph Fiennes as Alfred. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a Voldemort from Harry Potter cameos in here. Ralph Fiennes does not provide the voice.
Bizarre. Yeah, like, I was surprised at that.
Very weird.
You've literally got the actor in this movie.
Obviously, if he's not there, fair enough. But yeah, he's there. Just let him say a few things.
Maybe he's put the character to bed and he's charges like, way too much.
If you want me to come back.
You pay me twice.
But no, this was brilliant. Like, I mean, I almost want to say one of the best Batman movies out there, but I'm not going to because it's a Lego movie, so I'm just going to do it. But no, it hits all the same like joy and stuff from the Lego movie. Can't recommend it enough. I know it's been out for ages. And
especially in the US.
Yeah, so I'm a bit late to the party on this one, but for sure, it's good.
I have a big problem with it. I was getting flashbacks to Batman the Killing Joke.
Oh, with the...
Barbara Gordon,
hook up.
Batgirl.
They don't hook up. It's
Batman.
Fun.
They don't hook up, but they tease it enough.
Yeah.
She's the daughter of his friend. And she's almost like a surrogate daughter. Batgirl to Batman.
But this Will Arnett Batman is it kind of works with his character. It's...
I get what they're doing. I get the jokes. And I did enjoy the movie. I took my daughter to see this one.
I did think of it when I was watching it. But they didn't do anything with it. And that made it okay.
But for the longest time watching this movie, I watched this with my daughter. And she just kept leaning over to me and asking, where's Batgirl's ears? So when she finally suited up, she was completely into it. She really enjoyed seeing Batgirl.
I mean, you know what happens there. I guess it's not really spoilerish, but I will say, like, yeah, I was waiting for her costume to come up, and even Robin got a costume upgrade before she even got her costume. So,
and I like they went the Batman 66 costume for Robin. I don't like the sharp teeth on the Joker.
Yeah,
that was a bit much. But it very is cartoony. It is an incredibly fun movie
and just full of references. If you're a Batman fan, you'll know enough. Like,
when they're showing all the posters from like all the other Batman movies, it's like when you went through, you know, like it's going through all the Nolan movies, but you're seeing like Lego versions of the posters.
They just show Batman and Robin, it's just nipples. Like,
and they actually used the shark repellent from the Batman 60s
put used to
movie.
It. Yeah, we went very spoilerish then. Sorry, guys, if you haven't, I'm sure you've seen it.
Well, this is not a review, is it? I apologize.
No, yeah. So
there's a lot more going on in this movie.
Yeah, we've just... You've probably seen it all in the trailer anyway. You saw quite a bit.
So I was almost on autopilot then. I'm too used to reviewing these movies.
Well, that's our review of the Lego Batman movie. All right, let's finish up with a little bit of trivia. Now, we mentioned Happy Days were probably the first time ever, maybe.
No, it is, I'd say. It's the first time.
Yeah. So I've just got a bit of trivia there. Two different things here. First, Jump the Shark and Chuck Cunningham Syndrome. I'm going to explain what they are. So many fans agree that the show's quality deteriorated after the three-part season 5 opener, the Hollywood episodes, where Fonzie literally jumps over a shark. That's where that term was coined, whenever a show sort of goes off the rails, goes a bit weird. It's like, that show jumped the shark.
Really?
That's where it came from. Literally from when Fonzie jumped the shark.
Wow, I did not know that.
So Lost jumped the shark when all this happened, or, you know, The Simpsons jumped the shark when, I don't know, they made a movie. Not necessarily, but...
I mean, I get the point.
Yes, but
you
that's
don't have to give an example.
Literally jump the shark.
Okay.
Now, Chuck Cunningham Syndrome. Did you know Richie Angione originally had an older brother, Chuck?
That's right. He went upstairs one episode and never came back down.
Yeah, I think they... in like the first thing, I think they mentioned something about him getting a basketball scholarship and obviously moving away to college or something like that, but otherwise vanished without explanation. So now when a character is dropped from a series with no explanation given, it's known as the Chuck Cunningham syndrome.
Wow.
Yes. Not as popular as Jump the Shark, but still a thing.
Bit of trivia to add to Happy Days, since that's what we're doing now. We turned into the Happy Days podcast. We spoke about Robin Williams earlier, and one of his more famous roles...
Mork from Ork.
Mork and Mindy was a spin-off from Happy Days.
Yeah, so Happy Days had... What season did he first appear in? Was it early?
I'm not sure what season it was, but I know it was an episode
was
where...
Was it after Mork, they dropped the shark?
I'd say. And then you've got like Fonzie and an alien having a conversation in the kitchen. I'd say that's jumping the shark.
So it's literally, it's Happy Days, and then suddenly an alien pops up. Hey, give that alien a show.
But honestly, when I first heard that, it blew my mind. Like, what? Mork and Mindy was a spin-off from Happy Days? Crazy.
Almost as weird as JAG being... No, not JAG. The other one being
NCIS being a spin-off from JAG.
Okay, that's it for that movie show. Please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. And please leave us a review. It helps listeners just like you find the podcast.
We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com.
Be sure to also check out our latest Sounds Like Comics podcast, focusing on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
I was on that podcast. Okay. I wanted to do it for the longest time. Check it out. It's a good one. And also keep a lookout for our upcoming review of Sandy Wexler, the latest Netflix Adam Sandler movie.
You've been listening to That Bell and also Jason and Luke, the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
It's your story next.
Gosh. It's because I just did. It's because I just did that.